Welcome to the TKO.
From Lights Out Productions.
From the website of 1320WILS.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
How's it going, party people?
All right, kicking off our headline story, the Ultimate Fighter coaches have been announced this week. Looks like we're having Brock Lesnar and Junior Dos Santos as our coaches. How you feel about that, Jason?
I'm pretty excited about it, to be honest with you. I mean, to see two big heavyweights like this, you know, two 265-pound guys like Brock Lesnar and Junior Dos Santos going at it, I think after the season's over, is going to be amazing. And plus, seeing two huge guys like that trying to coach some 170-pound fighters in the season is going to be hilarious.
That's true. I got to be honest, though. I'm a little torn about the whole thing because I'm a huge Brock Lesnar fan. So I want to see him, you know, doing the coaching thing and everything like that. And I think he's hilarious, which I think will kind of be you'll see that on the show.
But definitely an entertainer.
The problem that I have, though, is from my understanding, Junior Dos Santos was promised the next title shot. And now whoever wins at the end of the season when he fights Junior Dos Santos is going to get the title shot when Velasquez comes back in September from his surgery. And I just don't think that Brock Lesnar has really... It's going to give him enough time to really transition his game enough to really pose a threat to Velasquez. Because really, it's not like it was a close fight. I mean, he got it wasn't, you know, Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard. He got wasted.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
So I just think that it would be nice, I think, if he had, because at first when he was talking about facing Roy Nelson when he came back, and now that's kind of out the window, obviously. I think it would have been better for him to get a couple more fights under his belt, a little bit more experience, a little bit more time to kind of game plan for Velasquez, which I don't think he's going to have now, you know?
Well, I don't have a huge problem with it because I think, you know, he will have some time. I mean, he's going to fight, obviously, Junior Dos Santos in there, and then there's going to be some time between that fight and the potential title fight after that. I maybe don't agree with it being a guaranteed title shot after this, but I think if Brock Lesnar comes back and he beats Junior Dos Santos and he looks like he's improved on his game doing it, you know, I think at that point he will have earned a title shot.
And I think you made a good point when we were talking about this earlier. You said kind of who else is there if it's not Junior Dos Santos, if it's not Brock Lesnar. There's really no one else that's really kind of elevated to the top of the heavyweight division, you know? So I guess I agree with it in that point. I just thought that, personally, I thought Junior Dos Santos should have been guaranteed a title fight, and maybe Brock Lesnar should have, you know, had to work his way back a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I can see that, but I mean, they're giving him a shot at this point. You know?
Right.
I mean, they've each got their chance to do it. All you got to do is win. So, I mean, you know, I think that's a fair way to do it, too. I mean, you know, you get Brock Lesnar, who is, you know, an outspoken, you know, very high-profile fighter on your show, which is what you want to boost your show there. So, I mean, they get that. They give him a chance to get back to the title shot. They give Junior Dos Santos his shot, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a pretty fair way to go about it.
Well, here's the thing. I think stylistically it's going to be a really good fight with the Dos Santos and Lesnar, because the thing is, if it stays on the feet, I think Dos Santos has a clear advantage. Brock Lesnar does not like getting hit in the face,
he does not take it well.
So, you know, and the thing is about Dos Santos is no one has really seen him on the ground yet. So
I think you will in this fight.
Yeah, I mean, and that's obviously Brock Lesnar's strength. You know, standing up and banging is not a good way for Brock Lesnar to go about winning. He's very much a ground and pound submission fighter.
And he looks like he would be good standing up.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, I mean, his physique, you'd think he would be able to just knock you out, you know, and take a punch.
His punches are obviously very powerful, but he just doesn't like getting hit well at all. And I think, like, you know.
You need to just tie him to a tree and punch him in the face. That should be his whole training camp. Just tied to a tree, getting punched in the
face. You know, I think he should fight bears. That's what I think should be his training. But, you know, so, yeah, I think that stylistically, that is probably one of the better matches that they could have had in the heavyweight division. So that is our headline news right there. Kind of some other stuff here. A little bit weird. I don't think we really have the fine points of it yet. But basically, from what I'm hearing, Chael Sonnen is suspended, I guess indefinitely at this point. I don't know if there's really...
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know if they really know exactly what's going to go on, but basically, he pleaded guilty for a money laundering scheme in Oregon. So he's going to be sentenced March 28th. What they're going to be going for is 2 years probation. The maximum sentence that he can get is 20 years in jail and a $500,000 fine.
Which... is a huge sentence. I mean, the odds of him getting probation, I don't know what his record, prior record is uh-huh. like, but I mean, the odds of somebody getting probation on a first felony offense is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, but to get 2 years probation off of something that has a maximum 20-year penalty to me seems a bit outlandish. I mean, yeah. I think he's probably, I don't know if he's in jail now, but if he's serving time now, you know, maybe he can get out for some time served. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the odds of him getting probation off of a 20-year maximum right. sentence seems pretty low.
Yeah, and he also got his real estate license revoked from this.
Because that's where he was really making his money anyway. That's got to be
well, there was definitely something about to someone between a plumbing company and something, and they had him bought it, and then they gave $60,000 to the homeowner as incentive to buy.
It was a bad plot of CSI. That's what it sounds like.
So basically, this could really have an effect on, you know, if he ever returns to the Octagon, because if you remember last time, you know, our last show, there was a possibility that he was going to be one of the Ultimate Fighting
yeah.
coaches.
Yeah, we were talking
obviously
about that.
That's gone now.
Oh, yeah.
And if he ever returns to the UFC remains to be seen. You know, Dana White obviously knows about this, and you know, he's suspended until further notice. You know,
he should be suspended. This is a Michael Vick situation. You know, I mean, you yeah. get involved in a major, you know, money laundering scheme. Apparently, you're up for 20 years in jail.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, it's like,
you don't need to be fighting right now.
And first, it's like, what are you saying here? Okay, first, you just got caught with steroids, mm-hmm. and you were suspended for you know, a year, knocked down to 6 months, and now that's not even served yet.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, it's something that's completely fighter related that you're money laundering.
Yeah.
Really?
It's
really?
Ridiculous.
And he was running for the state representative or something. He had to pull out of the race because of this. So, I don't know. Just, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Chael Sonnen in general.
I'm not a huge fan of him in his you know, mouth.
Yeah.
But he did have a really good fight against Anderson Silva.
He did.
You got to give him that.
But if I was steroided up,
to see him.
I mean, I might be able to have some better fights too. Just saying, you know. I mean, granted, I know he said he had a hormone imbalance, but come on. So yeah.
I was excited to see him fight again, though, because, I mean, based on that strong performance, I mean, you whoop Anderson Silva for four and a half rounds, and then all of a sudden you get triangle choked out. I mean,
I guess I was excited to see where he was going to go. After I found out that he was using, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, it kind of fell off for me a little bit. I still would have liked to see it, but now I kind of have no desire whatsoever. I'm kind of just like, dude, get out of the sport. And it's not like he's a young guy with a bright future anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he's up there as mm-hmm. far as, you know, MMA fighters go.
I'm not going to miss not hearing him talk all the crap that he usually talks about other fighters, though.
That's true.
For sure.
And I'd like to see him, you know, if he's really not taking steroids, I'd like to see him maybe face Anderson Silva again and see how that goes, you know, once you're regular,
detoxed.
you're not roided up. All right, we have one more story that we want to get to here as far as news related. Fedor Emelianenko, the last emperor, he signed a four-fight contract extension with Strikeforce. And one of the things that I kind of want to talk about and get into is his management team, M1 Global, basically bent Strikeforce over, to say the least, and
they're crazy.
Co-promotions on all four fights, fight cards that Fedor is going to be involved in.
That's nuts.
How on earth do you have a fighter? Now, don't get me wrong. Fedor is a decent fighter.
He's a decent fighter.
But he hasn't faced anyone really, really great.
That's
you know, the thing. And you're going to take this. I just kind of feel like Strikeforce is basically putting all their eggs in one basket to someone who lost in 60-something seconds to Fabricio Werdum. I mean, I don't see it.
Yeah. They're like, you know, Fedor's the greatest heavyweight in the world. He's beat Brett Rogers. Like, really? Really? That's who you're going to tout? I mean, he hasn't fought anybody. If he wants to be considered one of the best heavyweights in the world, he needs to join UFC.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And he won't do it because the M1 Global, his management company, wants that co-promotional rights from UFC. And they're not going to get it from Dana White. It's just not going to happen.
He's kind of fought a who's who of guys who used to be in the UFC there,
yeah,
Jay.
Exactly.
And I think that Dana White, you know, is making a good point that it's like, dude, you're not going to come in here. You don't have the clout to come around here and push a major organization like the UFC around. You know, so I really like Dana White sticking to his guns and saying, dude, you can come here and fight if you want, and we'll give you, you know, a good salary and everything like that. But you're not going to come in here with your little management team and co-promote our events with
people
us.
People don't do that. Like, GSP doesn't get that deal.
No.
Anderson Silva doesn't get that deal.
No.
Brock Lesnar doesn't get that. Nobody
Jose Aldo, you know, another great fighter. They don't get that deal.
No.
you don't see their management team coming and trying to boss up on Dana White about, you know, if they get to I mean,
how do you come at UFC and say, unless we get this, we're not coming to you? Like, we're not going to put our fighter in your organization.
Yeah.
Dana White's like, okay.
And they tried that. There was talks of Fader going to UFC, and M1 Global got involved, and Dana White said no.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's ridiculous. They want the co-promotional rights to every event that he's in. It's not going to happen.
For your good fighter. Like I said, he's a good fighter. He is not an elite fighter.
No.
And there are plenty of them out there that are in UFC. And you know, maybe Fader is elite, but you haven't shown it to me yet.
Yeah. You put Fabricio Werdum even in the UFC, and I think he's probably a middle-tier heavyweight.
Well, I mean,
and that's one of his better victories, Fedor's. I mean,
if you look at you know, Fabricio Werdum's record, I mean,
his loss.
He's beat some good people.
Yeah.
He's lost to some people, too, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's top of the line, you know. I'm sorry, if Fedor goes in and takes out Brock Lesnar, takes out Dos Santos, takes out Velasquez, then yeah, I'll tote you as one of the best heavyweights.
Yeah.
But until you do that, I'm not going to give you a promotional deal, you know?
I mentioned this earlier when we were talking about it, saying, you know, anybody with that level of training is going to look pretty good fighting guys like me. Like, that's, you know, you put me in a ring with Fedor, and he's going to look good, you know?
And, I mean, like I said, with Strikeforce, they're really kind of, I think, hanging themselves with the rope they're being given here. They basically let M1... In a way, kind of plan out this heavyweight tournament that they're having to find out who's going to be the Strikeforce heavyweight champ. If you look at the brackets, it's so one-sided to get Fedor to the finals that it's just ridiculous. Okay, so on one side, one of the first fights is going to be Fedor versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva, which Bigfoot Silva is a dog, okay? I mean, if you've seen his last knockout, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And I mean, he just killed the guy with hammer fist. And he's a very big guy.
Yeah.
And so Fedor's M1 Global said they wanted this fight.
Mm-hmm.
They said for the second fight, they wanted Overeem.
Yeah.
So they have Overeem versus Werdum is the second in that same bracket.
Yeah.
So if Fedor wins, if he beats Silva, his next fight then will be Overeem, which most people really want to see that regardless of if it happens in the tournament or not.
Yeah.
But really, most people are saying if you're going to set up the brackets to be fair, Overeem should have been in the other bracket.
Yeah. At least Overeem, and probably, you know, Werdum should have been, you know, in a spot where he would meet, you know, one of those two later on.
Yeah.
If they continue to win, you know, you shouldn't have that as a first round matchup.
And so go ahead now, listen to the second bracket now.
Yeah.
Andrei Arlovsky versus, I believe his name is Sergey Shcherbakov. That lets you know how popular he is right there that I can't even say his name. And so that's the first fight in that one. The second one then is Brett Rogers, who works as a guy who puts tires on cars in his free time, versus Josh Barnett.
Wow.
Who Josh Barnett hasn't even fought recently that I can remember. I believe he got kicked out of UFC for his record last I knew. And that is
that's
the other bracket. Like, and M1 Global really set this whole thing up. You know,
they came out and said that, you know, this is what, what's his name, wanted.
Fedor
wanted. So that's what they did.
Uh-huh.
Like, they completely bent to his will. He said, this is what I want. And Strikeforce bent over and said, okay, here's your bracket that you wanted. It's pretty ridiculous.
And tell me what's going to happen to Strikeforce if Fedor goes out in the first round.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's very likely. You know, I guess not likely, but there's a possibility. I can't say that.
It's front-loaded for Fedor, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got his hardest fights coming up in the first two rounds.
Exactly. And that's how it's landed in his favor. And that's how they want it. He's freshest for his first two fights.
Yep.
And then the last one, you know, he can pretty much walk through. He already beat Brett Rogers. If Andrei Arlovsky, I mean, who he already beat as well. Like, I mean, it's just so, why don't you just give him the belt?
Seriously.
You know, give him the belt and then have him and Alistair Overeem fight for it after that. That's the way I see it.
They really should. But to have Fedor setting up tournaments, to have him co-promoting, I mean, Strikeforce is really putting all of their hopes and dreams, all of their, you know, future squarely on the shoulders of Fedor. And if he loses his next fight, I don't know where that puts him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really, it makes him kind of look as a promotion company, which you already know UFC's gunning for him. Mm-hmm. It makes him look like they can't handle anything, you know?
UFC can take people out, too.
Oh, yeah. SWEC.
Yeah. and they pretty much sunk, I think, Elite XC, too. So, I mean, they can do it.
Definitely.
Dana White knows how to take over a company.
Yeah, and he's got, the financial backing to do it.
Yeah.
So, I'm really going to be interested to see how this plays out. Don't get me wrong. I do want to see the tournament. I do think that there are some good fights, and I kind of want to see how it plays out.
I want to see it until Fedor's out.
That's true. And I think that's what they're basing it on. And he could go out first. I would say, honestly, a fight between him and Alistair Overeem, I'm going to take Overeem, honestly.
You think so?
I really do. Yeah. So, and honestly, I think it would just be funny just to see them put all their eggs, in the Fedor basket and then have it not work out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't think he's as good as they're hoping that he is, really. And that might be kind of mean, but I mean it. So anyway, next thing we want to get into, final thing we want to get in some fight announcements here.
Yeah.
Just coming out from UFC. Some of these we have dates for. Some of these we have what number UFC is going to be.
Yeah.
But some of them we don't. So right now, what we have is Roy Nelson and Frank Mir. I think an interesting matchup.
I don't think it's quite a here's the next title shot type of fight. But I think it's a very good fight as far as positionally in the heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Frank Mir, who is recently beefed up to 265.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Nelson, who is easily 265.
Eats 265 a day.
But I mean, stylistically, I think they match up well. They're both pretty good. I mean, Frank Mir's excellent at jiu-jitsu. Roy Nelson is pretty good. Roy Nelson's got the edge in, I think, ground and pound and maybe the stand-up game there. So, I mean, it should be a pretty good fight.
And that's the thing. I mean, when's the last time you saw in a heavyweight division two guys that are really good at Brazilian jiu-jitsu? Yeah. I don't think you ever have. I mean, I can't think of it.
I think, too, Jay, this is a good opportunity for Nelson to kind of move up to that next rank. He's beaten, he had that big win against Stefan Struve. Mm-hmm. He beat Brendan Shaw, but he needs to step up and show us that he can beat one of the top five or six guys in that division, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, wins against guys like Stefan Struve and, Brendan Shaw, those are guys that are fairly new to the heavyweight division. So, I mean, he's not really showing that he's, an elite-level talent. So this is a good stepping stone for him if he wants to get there.
And for Frank Mir to kind of get back on track and get into the title picture if that's what he really wants to do.
I think he can with his new 265 frame and that jiu-jitsu background.
I want to see how he works, you know. I'm interested to see that. Another one that everyone knows, hugely excited, Anthony Pettis, who we talked about in our last show, mm-hmm. who was supposed to have the next title shot, now not getting it because Frankie Edgar and Graham Manor are having a rematch.
Brad's a little salty about it.
A little bit, but they're going to put him up against Clay Guida, so they are not giving him an easy walkthrough fight.
Not.
And that's, I mean, Clay Guida, no one walks through him. You can beat him. He's beatable.
He's
but you're not going to walk through him.
In my opinion, he's not championship material. I think I said that in our last one. But he is a tough fighter to beat.
Yeah.
He is always going 115% through, all three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to walk through a guy like Clay Guida.
And when you're talking about Pettis, I mean, his nickname's Showtime, okay?
Yeah.
So you got a guy that has, crazy kicks and roundhouses and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's how he kind of, fights versus a guy that's the carpenter, you know what I'm saying? I mean, who just takes you down. Exactly. Takes you down, going to be in your face. Mm-hmm. So I think stylistically, it's going to be a good matchup. I think it's a dangerous fight for Pettis to take. I mean, I think it shows, though, that he's not going to come in and just be like, okay, I just want a title shot and become a champ. Like, he wants to work for it, and he's gonna have to.
And I respect that a lot more. I think a lot of the fighters in UFC are going to respect that a lot more, too, instead of him just waiting around for a title shot.
Right. And so, I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good fight.
This one, I'm totally excited to see, too. Quentin Rampage Jackson versus Thiago Silva. This is going to be UFC 130 been announced.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm excited for the fight to see it because I think it'll be a good fight.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of, who moves up or down in the light heavyweight division, I don't think it really does much.
Yeah, not a whole lot. Stylistically, these two just like to come out and bang.
Yeah.
And both of them got crazy knockout power.
Yeah.
They both talk a lot of stuff.
That's for sure.
So I really hated it when Rampage beat Machida and was kind of being a little whiny about it. No, he did better. He beat me. Yeah, come on, man. You know, you were talking all that stuff before the fight, and then you're coming out like this. Nah, I want to see, because that's not going to happen with Silva. I don't see that happening at all. Silva's got an attitude on him, mm-hmm. and so does Rampage. So I'm excited to see that fight.
I think it'll be a good fight, and honestly, I'm just going to throw this out there so you know. I don't like Rampage.
Oh, we know that.
The listeners might not. I don't believe in Rampage much at all. So I'm pretty excited to see another guy that can go in there and put some hands on his chin and test it. So.
And I think, you know what? It might not tell a lot in the division, so to speak, but I think it will tell a lot about the fighters. Because I think that Silva needs to get back. You know, he was gone for a year, a complete year. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe it was with an injury. And kind of Rampage, he's been kind of streaky, you know. Yeah. He hasn't really been consistent. You know, he's, you know, stops to do movies and takes long breaks, you know. So I think it will kind of let you know where these fighters are headed, so to speak, you know, with how they perform in this fight. Another one, this is going to be at UFC 129. It's going to be Hominick versus Jose Aldo. And that is if Hominick beats Roop for a fight for the troops that's going on this weekend, which we're also going to preview that coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel bad for Roop in a way that it's almost like kind of been predetermined that he's going to lose.
Yeah. How crazy would it be if he wins, though?
I mean, his last fight was a win. He knocked out the Korean Zombie, which no one thought that was possible.
Yeah.
And knocked him out pretty convincingly with a head kick. But another twist in this, too, is that Roop and Hominick shared the same coach. So the coach basically told Roop that he had to go get another coach, that he was going to quarter Hominick for this fight.
That's
so
tough.
It's kind of like you're already being predetermined to lose, pretty much.
Yeah.
And your coach is saying that he's going to go with the other guy. So I kind of feel bad for Roop, but you know, with everything stacked against him, you know,
some people
maybe
just respond to that.
Yeah.
You know, some people need that type of, you know, adversity to really step up their game and do what they need to do to you know, reach their full potential. Maybe Roop is one of those guys, you know?
And Roop is kind of a long, lanky fighter.
Yeah.
And Hominick's a little bit shorter, a little bit more compact. So I think stylistically, it's going to be a pretty good matchup. Hominick is just, he's very precise, I think is the best way to explain his fighting style. He doesn't throw a lot of crazy overhand haymakers. You know, it's very precise, but they're powerful, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it could end up being I think it's going to be a really good matchup up this weekend between Roop and Hominick. As far as Hominick moving on, if he does win, like obviously they're thinking that he's going to face Aldo. I don't see anybody being Aldo. I mean, he is just wow.
Head and shoulders above the rest of the division.
I mean, really, I need to see him, I think, put on some weight, and I would really like to see him in George St. Pierre. Like, that, to me, would kind of be my dream fight.
They'd be putting on a lot of weight, though.
Yeah.
He's 145.
Yeah.
I mean, going up to 170.
I think it's got to be at a catch weight. You know, honestly, no. Frankie Edgar, I think, would be a very good fight, too. Like, it can't be these guys coming from WEC, you know, like it has to be a step up to some of the weight divisions in UFC. And Dana White has said that there's a possibility that he's going to, you know, they're going to try to get him to put on weight and maybe try to get some of these bigger guys to, you know, maybe fight at a catch weight.
They keep talking about it with a lot of, I mean, they keep talking about doing that with Anderson Silva and GSP too. And it never comes about. So, I mean, I think you keep getting enough contenders in your division and that keeps you from bumping up or down a weight class most of the time when you're the champions. So.
I would say with Aldo within three fights, I think that division is going to be completely cleared out.
Well, I think there's a better chance of that now because he's been in WEC fighting all these same fighters. Like all the featherweight fighters are from WEC.
Yeah, it's basically
except
WEC.
For like one or two maybe of the lightweights that have dropped down now from UFC, you know? So, I mean, he really doesn't have a whole lot to do as far as new competition now that they've joined with UFC.
Right. So I'm really interested to see that one. Obviously, title implications there.
Yeah.
You know, Jose Aldo already being the champion and Hominick getting his shot. Mm-hmm. Last fight we want to preview here, Mr. Wonderful, Phil Davis, going up against Matt Hamill. And I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, Phil Davis looked really good the last time we saw him. So, to see him up against... And Matt Hamill's not a great striker. He has improved his striking because his striking when we first saw him was
non-existent.
Was suspect. But he's improved his striking a bit. And he still has that sort of world-class elite wrestling.
Yeah.
Which can always win you a fight. You can always just take down a guy and lay on him. It's not an exciting fight, but you can always win three rounds that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got that type of a talent anyway. And Phil Davis, again, looked great. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he does against that type of a style.
Yeah. Honest, Rob, can we get some stats here about Phil Davis, kind of see what his past record has been, I guess, recently in the UFC?
Yeah, Brad. Phil Davis has 8 matches, 8 wins. He's been fighting in the UFC for the last, looks like, 4 fights since 109 Relentless. He did beat, February 6, 2010, so a little under a year ago, he did beat Brian Stann, who we just saw put on a pretty good show before. So right now he's at 8-0. He's got 2 wins by knockout, 3 by submission, 3 by decision. So he's kind of a balanced fighter at this point.
Yeah, and beating Brian Stann, I think, is especially... Well, I think Brian Stann wasn't as good then as he is now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to still have a win like that over a guy who we saw, you know, at the last UFC had a really good performance.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows you the type of talent that Phil Davis does have. So,
And also, I mean, the last win that he had basically made his own submission that they've never really seen before. I mean, there's just not a lot of fighters that you see that can come and do that, you know. And he was a state champion wrestler at Penn State. Mm-hmm. So to see him, you know, with Matt Hamels wrestling, I think it's going to be a great match. You know,
I think
that they really did a really good job with setting those two fighters up.
Definitely.
That's going to do it for our first segment here, where we just kind of did a recap of the news. Second segment, we're going to preview Fight for the Troops coming up this Saturday, and I'll let you know who we think are winning those. So make sure you check out segment 2.